immediately what came to mind, because we're Kendall and I are both big RuPaul's Drag Race fans, but RuPaul's quote at the end of every episode is, if you can't love yourself, how in the hell can you love somebody else? Can I get an amen?
That amen. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Indeed.
Well, Dee, welcome to Family Twist.
Thank you. Good to be here.
So I think those who are viewing and listening right now likely recognize your face and voice simply due to all the wonderful performances in such films as E.T., The Howling, Cujo, Critters, Lords of Salem. You know, I could go on for the next 15 minutes, but what we're...
I do have a few.
But what we're focusing on for this episode is something that's both important to Dee and us, which is healing. To kick things off, could you just sort of share your personal philosophy around healing?
Yes. You got an hour?
We do.
All right. I will put it all very succinctly. Everything is energy. You learned that in fifth grade. Energy is neutral.
Yes.
There is no good energy, no bad energy. And energy can be directed toward good and bad. But energy itself is neutral. We direct energy by our thoughts, our feelings, and our belief systems. Most of us do not realize that we are the powerful creators of us that must take the responsibility of choosing the thoughts, the feelings, and the beliefs that will match what it is that we want to create in our lives. We were put on this plane to practice free will, to know free will. And that means taking the responsibility in the creation of our own lives. So they measure our hearts with electrocardiograms. They measure our brains with electroencephalograms. Every thought, every feeling that we have shoots out an electrical signal into the universe. The universe is electromagnetic. So the universe's job is to go, I got to find a match. I got to, boom, there's a match to the signal that D sent out, right?
Yes.
Then that is sent back as the experience of our lives, and that keeps repeating in the same pattern until we choose a different belief, a different feeling, and a different thought.
I love the way your brain works.
Well, that's very succinctly, years of learning what I'm actually doing.
Absolutely, yes. So, years and several books. And I love the dual sides of you, you know, the performance side and then this side of it.
I jokingly say I spend half of my life doing horror films and the other half healing people from fear.
Yeah.
Somehow that dichotomy works really well for me.
Yeah,
so.
It's great. Yes, it's the yin and the yang, right?
You bet.
So on our show, many of our guests are those who are currently dealing with trauma related to family. Now, I'll give you a little bit of background as to why we started the show. About 7 years ago, we found Kendall's birth family via a DNA test, ancestry. He was adopted as an infant. By the time he was 17 years old, he was orphaned. Both of his adoptive parents were gone. It was a closed adoption. So he spent decades wondering and searching, but I mean, with a closed adoption, very few options. And so he had almost given up, you know, but the journalist in me, we've been together for almost 20 years. I just kind of every once in a while, I would say like, boy, but don't you really want to know? Don't you really want to know where you came from? And so finally, with the advent of at-home DNA tests, we had that avenue. And so he took the test and he got the results back in just a few weeks, which is pretty amazing considering like how long it sometimes takes. And he immediately matched with a half brother in New England. And they got on the phone immediately, and it was tearful, joyous. We're not scared of taking chances. A few weeks later, we flew out to spend a weekend with his half brother, his half sister, who also lives here in New England, and his birth father. And on the plane ride home, I said, well, you've been waiting 47 years for this. We're moving from California all the way across the country to New England so you can have a relationship with your birth family. And that's what we did. We were, by January, we were here.
Wow.
So in the meantime,
well, good for you that you lovingly supported him in that.
You know, it's just, I just think it was so important. Family's so important, and so many different types of families, you know, we're just, and I just thought, okay, this is a piece missing from his heart that we need to see if we can fill. Now, in the meantime, his half-brother helped track down his birth mother's side of the family. Well, it turns out Kendall went from an only child to the oldest of seven almost immediately.
Oh, my God.
Yes. He reached out to his birth mother's side of the family and had some luck. He's got a really wonderful relationship with two of his half-sisters. But unfortunately, after more than 6 years, his birth mother refuses contact. And that is where the trauma is for Kendall. And that's where he is okay. In his healing journey.
So I find it really interesting in the work I do about stories like this, because most of the people that I work with are trying to heal themselves from what happened in their family.
Yeah. Yeah.
So here we have Kendall, who didn't have any of the trauma. He didn't have any of the memories. He didn't have any of that to get over or repair.
Right.
And now he does.
Yes.
So what those two things have in common is it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter what happened to you traumatically with a birth family. And it doesn't really matter whether his mom wants anything to do with him now. What matters is what Kendall does with that. So he can be a victim. I mean, obviously, from the beginning, that mother didn't want to be responsible for her responsibility. So when somebody shows you who they are, believe them.
Sure.
She can't change it. What Kendall has to realize is it has nothing to do with him. It's who she is.
Yeah.
And she made mistakes early in her life. And probably, look, she's either sorry about her mistakes or she doesn't give a poop.
Yeah.
Right? So either way, what's important is, what does Kendall want to create now?
Right, right.
Within him, within his life, right? If he stays in reaction and starts using this as his story, then that affects his responsibility for self-creation.
Sure, absolutely.
I mean, my story is, I grew up in a very poor household. My father was a severe alcoholic. He ended up committing suicide. My little brother committed suicide 5 years ago. That's my story. If I define myself by my story, I keep living my story. If I go, that's my story, how empowering can I live my life now? Then I win. If I don't, I stay stuck.
Yeah.
That's the decision we all have to make.
Right. It's currently a roller coaster type situation for him, because this podcast has been healing for him, because we're talking to others about their stories, their experiences, and trying to amplify their voices that, you know, these are important feelings that people have, you know. And just to give you an example, or some examples, like we talk to a lot of people who have DNA surprises that they do, you know, 40, 50 years old, like, hey, let's do a DNA test for Christmas. This will be fun to see what part of Europe we're from, right? And then all of a sudden, hey, who are all these people that I'm not matching with? And who are these people I am matching with? And oh, surprise, my parents aren't my parents. My dad's not my dad. I was adopted. I was donor conceived. And I've been lied to my entire life. And so the boom, you know, their story changes.
Well, see, I don't look at it as being lied to.
Hmm.
I look at it as someone loved you enough to help you create yourself.
Hmm.
to come in and be present in this world, whether it was a donor or a surrogate, or all the specialists told me I would never have a child. I willed her in. Had I not been able to will her in, I would have adopted.
Yeah.
Does that make my love for that child less?
Absolutely not. No.
Not at all.
I guess when I
unless you choose to believe and choose the victim side.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't serve you and it doesn't serve anybody else.
I guess maybe lie was the wrong word to use. I think what we're talking about is family secrets, is that never being told that you were adopted, never being told you were donor conceived, and then finding out, you know, through a DNA test, and then feeling sort of betrayed by your parents. Not that you have any less love for them, but why didn't you tell me when I was a kid? Why didn't you tell me when I was mature enough to understand it? I think that's where a lot of people are coming
from. One example that I have, one of my closest friends adopted two boys, and she went back and forth and back and forth. Should I tell him? Should I not tell him? Should I tell? So when they were in their teen years, she decided she would tell them. They had a perfect, blissful, loving family relationship. As soon as she told them, that put a jackhammer in it.
Hmm.
And I said to one of her sons, don't you realize that your mom loved you so much that even if you were brought in by someone else, she wanted to spend her life loving you? Oh, well, I never looked at it that way. I said, well, you need to start maybe looking at the blessing instead of pointing the finger and saying, why didn't you? Right?
Yeah.
That's what I mean. What are we going to do with it now? Whatever information that is uncovered, whatever part of your story was not truthful for you, where are the blessings around what came out of it for you now?
But I could certainly understand how someone could feel betrayed just because like that is a jackhammer, finding out at, you know, at 45 years old that, wait a minute, what? I was adopted? Just to give you a quick example, one gentleman we had on pretty recently did this with his wife. It was like a sort of a Christmas, like, oh, let's see where we're from, and shared the results with his, you know, parents, you know, around the holidays. And then all of a sudden was getting contacted and by somebody who thought he might be related to. He finds out that he was indeed adopted and his birth father's still alive, serving a life sentence in jail. And the guy who found out is a cop. And I mean, it's a great story because then it turns out he does end up.
That's a movie, babe.
It is.
That's a movie.
Oh, it gets better. So they, you know, he's not expecting much because, you know, as a lifelong police officer, he's very skeptical about somebody who's in, you know, jail for murder, but ends up,
you think?
Yeah, ends up meeting the man, forming a relationship, and through circumstances ends up helping his father get free. And they have a relationship now. The father was incarcerated for, I think, you know, 40 plus years, and now he's out and has a relationship with his son and his grandchildren. And it's just, I mean, there's so many stories like this, Dee. I can't believe it half the time. I really feel like we're talking to, like, you know, we're listening to like a movie script.
Well, you're offering a great service of solace, you know?
Yeah.
And I urge everyone to stop and go, whatever it is, it's a blessing. What can I do with it now?
Yeah.
What's my responsibility in my own life?
Right, right.
I have a friend who's going through the same thing. He found his birth father. He's found half-brothers that he has. And it literally has consumed his life.
Mm. The search or not, or the relationships?
Both.
Yeah.
And in some ways, in very powerful ways and positive. And in some ways, it's taken his whole focus off of what he's doing and creating in his life and put all the focus on, will they love me? Will they love me? Will they accept me?
Right.
Are there more people out there? In my teachings, he needs to find a way to balance the two so that he continues to create his life in a powerful, loving, prosperous, healthy way.
That said, does it sound what we did crazy to you that we up and moved all the way across the country?
No, I think it's extremely giving and loving of you to do that, as long as it doesn't consume all of the attention and creation that's going on in your lives.
Right. It's been really important for that not to happen. Now, while this podcast has certainly taken on a very good chunk of our time, the rewards have just been amazing. You know, as you get to a certain age, you know, it's hard to meet new people and make new friends. And I feel like we've bonded and been able to make dozens of new friends, you know, through the guests we've had on the show and just hearing their stories and their bravery and willing to just, like, you know, let it all out there to help others heal.
You bet. I mean, any way you look at it, it's a bonding experience.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I am curious, you know, through your one-on-one healing sessions with people, how many are dealing with family trauma? Is that pretty common?
Everybody.
Okay.
a lot of what I teach is about self-love. And I hear over and over and over again, well, I was raped when I was 12. I don't know how to love myself. Mm-hmm. I was abandoned. I've been through, you know, a horrible relationship and he cheated on me. And I said, okay, have you ever had a pet? Oh, yes, I have my beautiful dog, blah, blah, blah. And they light up. And I said, well, okay, just go to your heart, you know, right where that is. And just feel how much you love that little doggy. Just feel it all over. Oh, yeah, they say, yeah, I love my dog. I say, good. Now you know how to love. Now choose to love you. Oh, yeah, but.
Right.
And they go right back into their story again.
Yeah.
We know what love is. We know how to love others or a dog or a beautiful place in nature or a baby. We get to choose to love us. And the more we choose to love who we are, the more we have to share with everybody else.
Yes.
But you see, we're never taught that. None of us are ever taught that. We're not humble. So God's not going to love us if we love ourselves, if we think we're powerful, if we know how awesome we are, right? And people will judge you because you won't be a good little girl or boy. That's what we're taught. And it's a false teaching that holds us down our entire life.
Yeah. I love that you went there because literally my next question was about self-love. And when I was...
Oh, shocker.
I know. When I was writing notes for this, immediately what came to mind, because Kendall and I are both big RuPaul's Drag Race fans, but RuPaul's quote at the end of every episode is, if you can't love yourself, how in the hell can you love somebody else? Can I get an amen?
That amen.
Yeah.
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 Indeed. And yet, see, our brains around our self-esteem, how we see the world and how we see the world seeing us, locked in by 8 years old. From conception to eight, whatever you're taught verbally or whatever you see modeled in front of you, that's what your brain believes is true. And then we start building our entire lives on those belief systems.
Yeah.
So we keep sending out the same signals and we keep receiving back the same experiences. And then we call it karma.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
You can't change your life if you don't change your belief systems. And whatever wall you're hitting in your life creation, go back and write down your beliefs around what you were taught or modeled. So if you knew that you were adopted, oh, well, I wasn't wanted. That belief goes through your money, your relationships, your health and wellness, your success, everything.
Yeah.
Because you are literally creating from the belief system, oh, I'm not wanted. So you're fighting that. Every time you want to go out and be successful, yeah, but they probably won't hire me because subconsciously, I'm not wanted.
Yeah.
You know, I can hear my grandmother say, I was raised Methodist and we went to church every Sunday, and my brother actually ended up being a minister for a while, which is really funny to me because he was so irreverent. But I can hear my grandmother say, they're the rich people. We're the good people.
Hmm.
Message in my little girl brain, oh, you can't be a good person and have a lot of money. So cut to me at 32 and I'm doing ET, making a lot of money. Everybody wants to talk to me and interview me. And I kept pulling back and went, what the hell is going on? Why am I not celebrating this? And I went, oh my God, I'm one of them. And that's how those belief systems end up running our lives until we become conscious and go, you know, Grandma, I love you. That's not a belief I want. That's not a belief that's going to give me the success and the joy and the money that I want.
Yeah.
I know that my consciousness is what will handle my money. My consciousness is what will choose who to help with that money, how to give, how to love. Sometimes when I go out to talk, I'll throw a big pile of money in the middle of the floor and I go, all right, I want you all to watch that and see all the bad stuff it does in the next 2 hours. And everybody laughs because they get it.
Right.
Money can't do anything without us and our direction of it. And all energy works the same way.
Yes.
All energy.
Yes.
Will not create for you unless it's directed. That's, again, fifth grade.
Right.
However, most of us are directing energy unconsciously or subconsciously.
Right.
Instead of, wait a minute, I just heard a really BS thought there, Deanna. Is that the thought that's going to give me the success I want? That would be a big no. You know, I just self-talk. And by that time, you're laughing at yourself, which allows you to disengage and pick and choose the thought and the love and the feeling that's going to create what you do want.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, thank you for bringing that up about your grandmother, because it made me think about some of the topics that I try to avoid with some family members or non-family members are religion and politics.
Yeah,
but one of the things, I didn't raise you to think this way, or I didn't raise you to believe this. And my counter to that is, but you did raise us to be open-minded. And I think you did raise us with the ability to be able to, sure, look at what we were taught in the past, but then also look at what's happening in our lives now and look to the future and make our own decisions.
Yeah, people, when they're new to my community and they'll come on my Sunday show and they'll go, I don't understand. You don't believe in God? And I said, I absolutely believe in God. I just believe in an expanded understanding of God. Right? Just go back to God helps him who helps himself. If you're not taking responsibility for the creation of your life, God is not going to intervene, because we came here to learn free will.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that you bring it full circle. But if there's a particular book that you could recommend.
I would recommend my newest book, Born, Giving Birth to a New You. It is simple, easy to read, and literally the formula for creation. It just goes this and this and this and this and this. It explains it through religion, spirituality, brain science, whatever your acceptance is open to. You can understand it from any of the ways that I presented in the book.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you for that. Wonderful. Well, I so appreciate, and Kendall appreciates as well, your insights. And I know people are going to take a lot away from this episode. And
I hope
yes,
so.
Wonderful. Well,
been great being here.
Thank you so much.
Hi, this is Kendall jumping in. I have, of course, listened to the fantastic conversation that Corey had with Dee Wallace. And at this point in the story, I just want to remind our listeners that Dee hadn't heard all of the story. And my birth mother actually didn't have any control over whether she kept me when I was born. Her parents made that decision for her. I do love Dee's focus on empowering ourselves by overcoming the negativity that we've lived through. And that's definitely what my hope is for myself, but also my hope is for any of our listeners who are going through anything similar. It's difficult to be rejected, and you have ups and downs. Some days it affects me differently than it does on other days. Some days I don't care. I deal with rejection really well. Other days it just hits you. Because you're surprised. You're surprised that someone would treat you that way. When listening to the story that Dee tells about her friend who adopted two boys and didn't tell them they were adopted until they were in their teen years, I'm standing on my belief that my parents avoided that completely by always being truthful with me from the beginning. You know, I never looked like them. I might have wondered anyway if they hadn't been truthful, but I just have so much respect for the honesty that my parents showed me early on. I think that the earlier that a child can hear that he or she or they were adopted, it just lessens all those chances for anger from the child later. I regret so much that I wasn't able to be on the call with Corey and Dee Wallace. I am such a huge fan of hers, and really when I look at her body of work, it just, many things really speak to me. I love this focus that she has now, really helping others and understanding their responsibility to create their own stories in their lives. So I take that to heart. Dee, I hope you and I get to speak at some point in the future. And thank you so much for being on the podcast.